Welcome to the 155 Election Podcast, interviews with candidates running for mayor, city council, and school board trustee in Hamilton, Ontario. Episode 122. Kevin Jeanan, you're running for city councilor in Ward 5. Welcome to the Public Records, the 155 Podcast.
Well, thank you for having me, Joey.
So firstly, tell us a little bit about yourself.
For starters, I'm as local as it gets to Ward 5 and to Hamilton. I was born at McMaster Hospital, of course, here in Hamilton. Went to St. David Elementary School on Centennial Parkway and Cardinal Newman on Gray Road, although technically it's St. John Henry Newman now. The name changed because he's canonized now, of course. And I've lived in the Stony Creek area, in actually the Battlefield neighborhood, more specifically by Eastgate, all 23 years of my life, although I did go to Ottawa for school, so I was away a little bit. I'm sorry. I'll apologize for that. I was away a couple months from Hamilton. And actually, the reason for that is because I got a full tuition scholarship to the University of Ottawa. I also received an academic medal from Governor General David Johnston as well. I've always kind of been super involved in everything. And especially in high school, I look back at it and I still don't know how I managed everything. My averages would like eclipse 98%, things like that. I would scorekeeping. I was acting and played Oliver Twist in Oliver. That was kind of one of the key moments for me in high school. Ran the school newspaper. Forest Ontario Environment Competition, we came third provincially. We actually, I think, beat out University of Toronto Private High School for like one of the third spots, which was a pretty big deal for us, beating a private school. I've been involved in a number of different things. And then during COVID, I really started to switch over to the social media graphics. And that's really what I'm kind of known for in the Hamilton area now. Was the COVID updates, what's open, what's closed, because nobody wanted to read through the whole web page and figure out, oh, is my gym open this time? Is my favorite restaurant open this time? What am I allowed to do? So I was just putting these graphics together, and it was crazy the amount of people that actually saw. Some of them, you know, were even in the hundreds of thousands of people seeing these things. It actually helped calm people down because they didn't have to fret over trying to figure out what in the world was going on. And I also got a role at Cable 14 for a bit. I've been published in Stony Creek News, Hamilton Spectator, mainly with op-eds that I've written. Currently write for Hamilton Independent News site and also do some other work on the side, help out my brother's landscaping company. I've done actually some temp shifts, a lot at the Hamilton Airport and some at DeFasco as well, which is interesting. I don't know how some of those people do it day in and day out. It's crazy. Just the amount of labor-intensive work. And in all weather conditions, I was up there in the winter a couple times, and it was pretty crazy, hot, pretty high up in the air. I've also done some Amazon deliveries too. And in terms of my family, I'm number two of six. My dad works in manufacturing. My mom is a social worker. And now I'm here and I'm running for city council, and you know, I'm as local as it gets, and I think I'm up to the task.
Why are you running?
I'm as local as it gets. As I said, I was born here in Hamilton. I went to school, elementary and high school, in Ward 5. You know, I've lived in Ward 5 my entire life, and I also strongly believe in community building and engagement with residents. It shouldn't be hard for people to reach out to their counselor. In fact, their counselor should be reaching out to them. And that's why I've done things like been super, super active on social media. And that's why I'm also putting my phone number and my email out there. If people want to contact me by text or calling me, it's 289-919-5535. Email is kevin.hamilton.council@gmail.com. And I just think that people should be asked what they want for the city. And it shouldn't be, you know, someone behind a desk making all of the decisions.
Do you live in Ward 5? Yes or no?
Yes.
Does it matter if one lives in the community one seeks to represent?
I believe it definitely matters. Every candidate, and I certainly hope that every candidate that enters does live in the ward that they're seeking to represent. Specifically in this race, I think that if you want to truly represent the people in this ward, you have to be driving on the roads that everyone drives on. You have to be going to the shopping mall that everybody's going to, the stores that everybody's going to, using the transit routes that everybody else is using. And I believe, really, if you live somewhere else way across the city, yeah, you can maybe represent people okay. And you can probably still do a good job. But I think it's important to live in the ward for sure.
How have you contributed to your community and our city?
I'd say one of the biggest projects, actually, and I still don't know really how I did it, was with family support, of course. In grade six, we started this whole thing at St. David. And you may have heard of this, where people had been taking milk bags and converting them into sleeping mats for people in different countries. And this came after the earthquake in Haiti, actually. In 2010, a church that we were involved with started this project where they were collecting milk bags and crocheting them into the sleeping mats, and they were being sent down to Haiti. And we started this whole collection because the biggest thing was, well, how do you get all these milk bags? You can't just go to the store and, you know, take all of them, because they still need them, of course. So we had to seek out where we could get these milk bags from. One of the things we did was collecting this throughout the whole school. And that was a crazy project. And that was kind of the beginning of, I think, my first involvement with actual volunteering and getting involved in making a difference. Of course, that wasn't really totally helping our local community as much as it is helping our human community. But then I would move on into scorekeeping with CYO, Catholic Youth Organization, which runs all the sports at Catholic elementary schools across Hamilton. Been volunteering at youth programs in the Rosedale neighborhood from a pretty young age. Also, a number of churches, St. John the Baptist Church, which I maintain has the best Christmas bazaar in the city until I'm proven otherwise. I've been involved with mentorship programs for people with different disabilities, organizing soccer teams, and then more recently, all this social media work, letting people know what's open and closed, and the Hamilton Neighborhood Watch email updates that I send out as well. And also, I think one of the key posts that are very important and that actually get a lot of reach and make the most difference is when there's either a person missing or an animal missing, where people in the community can see that post and take a very real action of checking their sheds, checking their homes, checking their community. It's something that's very easy to get out there super fast, and that social media graphics actually work way better than some of the other methods of getting the message out there through different web page links that people would have to read through, again, to get all of that information.
What are two of your priorities for Ward 5 and two of your priorities for Hamilton as a whole?
So when it comes to Ward 5, the main issue that I've been hearing for sure is everybody wants to know what's going on with the Eastgate development. And everybody's a little bit concerned about the number of stories for the one particular building. I believe 40 stories is what the initial proposal is. And also the fact that it could bring potential extra 9,000 people to the area. So people are concerned a little bit about parking, although I alleviated some of those concerns by pointing out that there would be parking towers, which I actually think is a good idea. There would be parking towers connected to the apartments. And I believe parking towers would also be able to be used for shoppers as well. And one of the other priorities for Ward 5 that I really want to see is the return of in-person events for 2023. So that definitely includes the Battle of Stony Creek reenactment. I believe the Apple Festival is also canceled this year. So bringing that back for 2023 and preserving those events into the future is really important. And not by, you know, moving forward with these events, kind of unilaterally saying these are going to happen and this is the way it's going to happen. But of course, by consulting with the community, by addressing the very real concerns that were actually brought up with kind of some of the ways that certainly the reenactment was run, and preserving these events into the future in a way that's good for the community and that really addresses all the concerns of various groups. For the city, I would say housing is definitely one of the biggest things, and specifically affordable housing. We need to not only increase the affordable housing supply by ensuring that new developments include affordable housing by saying specific percentage has to be affordable, but also increasing the general supply as well, which would help bring down prices, helping to develop what's called, of course, the missing middle, where we have row houses, mid-rise apartments, things like that, as opposed to super, super tall high-rises. It's really about utilizing space and finding a balance and seeking to, of course, increase the supply, bring down prices, and also, as part of that, not only specifying that a specific number needs to be affordable, because the definition of affordable is a little bit problematic. Of course, I believe it's 125% of the market rate, which is still pretty high. That's like $1,500-ish a month in rent. So maybe even saying in specific developments that a specific number of units have to be geared to income is really important as well, because that's perhaps even more truly affordable. The second priority for the city of Hamilton overall is the state of the city's roads. And I've said roads are meant to be smooth. They're not supposed to damage your car. So looking at which roads need to be paved and really prioritizing, certainly Barton Street, I know that's going to be paved soon, I think in 2023. Prioritizing the repaving and fixing of roads is definitely key.
What are three skills you bring to elected office that makes you the best choice to represent Ward 5 on Hamilton City Council?
So number one, I'm going to say energy. I have, you know, the energy to walk 30,000 plus steps a day, to go up to everybody's doors, to make phone calls to everybody. Competence, I've done very well in school. I have a Bachelor of Arts. I graduated university. I've worked in a nonpartisan role on Parliament Hill. I believe truly have the competence for this position. And also positivity. There's been a lot of negativity from council members, from staffers, from pundits, and just from the general public. There's been personal attacks, things like that. But it's really my goal to bring positivity back into municipal politics and really focus on community building, building up the community, not tearing people, other candidates, whomever down.
The following preamble leads to questions regarding honesty and transparency. Let's presume you are elected. During your first few weeks, you will be briefed regarding what City Hall refers to as, quote, confidential matters. We do not know what confidential matters are presently being withheld from the citizens of Hamilton. All four councillors first elected in 2018 initially voted to support the Coots Paradise cover-up, before three of those new councillors began voting against continuing the cover-up. The Municipal Act prohibits members of council from releasing information the majority of council declares confidential. With that in mind, what principles and advice will help you determine what information should be confidential, and what information should be made public?
That's a very, very good question. And the legal advice that's given to council, of course, it's extremely important. And there are also various pieces of legislation that are in place for a reason, such that councillor can't unilaterally decide to disclose whatever to the public. And at the same time, of course, it is important to act based on principles and to not cover things up, to be transparent, and to work to find solutions, particularly when it involves the environment, community safety, and human rights. And those are three things that you'll see in my platform, three key values that I hold very, very dear and that I think are very important at any level and really for anyone's life. And any big issue or cover-up that involves any of those three, I would have to take serious, serious consideration into what information is being withheld, what the pros of saying something would be, and also what the cons and consequences would be of revealing such information.
The Red Hill Inquiry will issue its report early in the next term of council. The revelations of how City Hall ignored problems on the expressway and the toxic culture at City Hall, which silenced good people, are shocking. How do you plan to review and consider the final inquiry report when it releases its findings and recommendations?
One of the key resources that I always use is the media and the newspaper, nightly news, and I'm a proud print subscriber to newspapers. I always like to go back and read analysis, read different people's opinions. And then again, also going back to the original source is really important. So reading the results of the inquiry itself, going through with a highlighter, sticky notes, whatever it is, and looking at the primary source and reviewing. And so that's really what I plan to do when the results are released.
The construction of the Beeline LRT will begin during this term of council. It will be the largest construction project in Hamilton's recent history. How do you plan to respond to construction challenges and opportunities?
One of the biggest opportunities we have is to ensure that there's affordable housing along the route. In terms of construction, ensuring the community is informed about when the construction is taking place, what the impact is going to be. Trying to ensure as best we can that there aren't cost overruns. I'm not sure how much control we necessarily have to ensure that, to stop inflation or anything like that. I don't think we have too much ability as a city council. Also ensuring that Hamiltonians are involved every step of the way, that they understand what's going on, and hopefully we'll see the benefit of it when it's all finished.
Before we turn to land use planning, let's have a lighter question. What is something interesting or unique within Ward 5 that you believe the rest of Hamilton should know about?
I think I'd probably have to say our waterfront, I think, is one of the most amazing outdoor spots in the city. We have Confederation Park, we have the piers, and we have the new sports park that's going up in the eastern portion of Confederation Park as well. There's Wild Waterworks there.
City Council decides land use planning and zoning. It decides where housing and businesses are located and the type of housing and businesses which are permitted in locations. There are three questions on this topic. Ontario's provincial policy statement, the de facto planning law, defines the 500 meters surrounding LRT and GO stations as major transit station areas. Ward 5 will have two LRT stations and already has the Confederation GO train station. Both require Hamilton City Council to update zoning bylaws to plan for intensification. What is your vision for the major transit areas and how will you implement that vision?
It's not too much up to me and what my vision is. I'd like it to be more communal vision that we come up with as a community. And also in regards to developments, it's really developers who even propose the initial plans. What I necessarily want it to look like would probably not be exactly what it would look like. But if there's one thing I think we can all agree on, it's that we need more affordable housing. And I think that mid-rise apartments, row houses, things like that are pretty reasonable development proposals that people can get behind. In terms of high-rises, we have to think about traffic. We have to think about green space and things like that. But housing is probably the most important issue in this election and ensuring that there's year-to-income housing, affordable housing as part of all these transit routes or along these transit routes is going to be really important.
There are many planning applications along King Street between Nash Road and Gray Road with more to come. What is your vision for this corridor and why is that your vision?
My vision is to listen to the residents' vision, to hear what they want. I know there is a proposal, I believe, at the corner of Centennial and King for, I think, 500 plus units. I'm interested to see the drawings. I don't think there's any release at this point in time, and interested to hear what the residents think about that. I know certainly there's even stricter story limits in downtown Stony Creek area. I don't think people really want that to change too much in terms of building high rises in downtown Stony Creek. I'm sure that would be met with opposition. So we need to, again, think about things like mid-rise apartments, think about things like row houses, and really work together to build housing, but also make sure that some of these things like traffic and green space and extreme density are accounted for and addressed.
The city of Hamilton is updating its decades-old residential zoning bylaws. This means the addition of secondary dwelling units within the neighborhoods of Ward 5, the dividing of older lots to create two homes, and other forms of intensification. How will you respond to the need to build more housing while responding to concerns regarding intensification?
I think it's really about laying in front of people the options. We have a lot of unused parking lots. Eastgate, I know there's obviously also one plan for the Food Basics Plaza as well. Those are parking lots, empty parking lots at this point. It's important to make use of that land. It's important to communicate to people that, listen, we can have an empty parking lot, or we can have families actually being able to own a home. And when it comes to some of those concerns about density, it's about sitting down with the developers, sitting down with citizens and saying, well, what's your plan to address all these issues? How many stories are you actually talking about? Because usually they try to aim high always to start and actually settle for something a little bit lower and really just come to a consensus. It's just about talking, I think, coming together, especially face to face. I think that's kind of the best way to do things.
Road safety is a significant issue across Hamilton, including in Ward 5. What is your overall plan to address road safety? Please provide three detailed specifics of your plan.
So number one, I think the Main Street corridor definitely needs to change. The fact that we have five lanes going through the city, it's very much like a highway. People can jockey for position. Another thing is those lanes are very skinny as well. So just addressing that Main Street corridor. I think speed humps would be another good thing to put in various places, particularly in school zones. So, of course, those are different from speed bumps, which are much more disruptive. In Lake Avenue, Northern Lake Avenue, I think that would be a good area. In Riverdale neighborhood there, in front of Lake Avenue School, I've heard that we need some traffic calming measures, like speed humps. And the other thing I'd say, honestly, police enforcement, because we've seen in a number of these instances of whatever, cars going through buildings or hitting people. There's a lot of criminal activity all a part of that, whether it's driving without a license or impaired or whatever. I think we really need to also just crack down on people using our roads as speedways.
Turning to governance and expertise, let's use the idea that it takes 10,000 hours to master a skill or trade and apply it to being a municipal councillor. One person cannot be an expert in all matters which come before a council for decision. How will you gain the necessary learning to be able to make informed decisions? What reading do you do? What professional development will you look for? And what types of people will you seek advice from?
I have a lot of books. I do a lot of academic reading, academic literature, studies, reading different ideas regarding city planning and everything. And if I'm elected, of course, relying on city staff will be key. I know there's definitely orientation activities that take a number of hours, and they do pretty well to prepare newly elected councillors for the position. Also relying on councillors who've been there before. I'm sure there'll be at least some incumbents elected again this year in the election. And so relying on their expertise as well. And different groups, you know, the Association of Municipal Managers, Clerks and Treasurers, I've followed and looked at a number of their resources, so AMCTO, as well as the AMO, Association of Municipalities Ontario. They have some great resources as well. So really taking the time and reading a number of their guides and everything as well.
What are two changes you will propose to improve city services?
So one key city service is definitely transit. And I've heard time and again, this kind of extends outside of Ward 5, but would definitely benefit Ward 5 residents, extending HSR to the Winona area. We have many workplaces out there. We got PD Smith, we got Winona Crossing and the big Costco. We have students from Orchard Park and Cardinal Newman who live out there and maybe need to get home after basketball practice. The school bus has already left and they need to take the bus, the city bus home. So I think sending HSR to Winona should definitely be looked into. I'd also like to see the city explore a potential 311 line. I know the city of Toronto has even a mobile app that can process service requests. You can upload a picture, live chat with city staff, making it easier for citizens to report things, whatever it may be, is definitely something we should explore too.
What are two changes you will propose to improve quality of life in Hamilton?
Something I've talked about is access to water and parks. I definitely realized it this past couple heat waves that there's not really anywhere, certainly in Ward 5's parks, to fill up your water bottle, to get a drink for your dog, or to use a water fountain. So consulting with the community, looking at all of the parks in the ward and seeing where water fountains, access to water, could fit in would definitely be one of my priorities for improving quality of life. And then just hearing residents, being accessible to people, addressing problems as they arise timely and hearing those concerns, you know, making it as easy as possible for them to report things as well.
It's 2026. The public record is writing a review of the four-year council term that is just ending. What three words do you hope we will use to describe your term on council, And what three words do you hope will describe council as a whole?
So I would say that I would certainly hope that council has been accessible throughout that term. I'd hope that it's been positive, a place full of positivity. And I would also hope that it has been a productive council term, where we're not stuck in debating the same topic over and over again, but where we have been able to come to compromises on situations and get things done for residents. And I would really say the same three words for me: accessibility, being accessible to residents, being positive, and having a productive council term. And I mean, those are really how I want to, the contribution that I want to make to council as a whole. So hopefully those three words will apply to me, and then I'll be able to also help them to apply to council as well.
Thank you. That's the end of the prepared questions you were sent in advance. Do you have any closing remarks you wish to share?
I'm as local as it gets. I know what's going on in our community. I know how this stuff works, and I'm up to the task. And people can check out my website, kevingenan.com, or email me, kevin.hamilton.council@gmail.com, and call or text 289-919-5535. I will answer you when I can.
So the folks at home, and neither can see the big smile under my mask here, in that the final actual question was going to be, how do people get in touch with you? So you covered that. So I want to thank you for taking the time to do the interview today. This has been episode 122 of the Public Records, the 155 podcast. Thank you to the Hamilton Public Library for the use of their makerspaces to record these podcasts. Thank you to the readers and listeners of the Public Record for your support. You can visit thepublicrecord.ca to get more City Hall coverage, sign up for my City Hall newsletter, and become a member of the Press Club to keep me covering Hamilton City Hall. Thank you.